The birth of ideas is a very exciting and a wonderful thing. How many ideas have you given birth to today? How many ideas have you given birth to in your lifetime? And we probably don't remember them because we don't count them. We have no idea how many wonderful ideas we give birth to in our lifetime. Well, in the last couple of days, we've been giving birth to the University of Philosophy, and it was born back in 75, of course, but we're giving birth to the University of Philosophy, and we're giving birth to the idea that it is now going to have a homepage. It is now going to be on the internet. It's now going to be available to everyone, and we're going to put copies of the chapters on the internet, and they'll be listed there, 1, 2, 3, 4, and people can call them up as they wish and read them, or copy them, or whatever they want. And they will also have the lectures on there that will be required listening tapes. And from that, we'll make the tapes for the courses that we have for the people. And we'll have required listening reading books. And required reading books will be quite possibly our own books, because that way we can read them on there without being worried about a copyright. So we just put our own book on there, put our own tapes on there, put our own things on there. And that will be the University of Philosophy. Because the University of Philosophy is going to be covering a whole different ballpark than any other university that we're familiar with or that we've been reading about. The University of Healing is a marvelous aspect because it teaches healing from the point of view that you change your attitude about yourself and you experience wholeness, which is rather nice. The University of Philosophy is you change your attitude about yourself and you realize that you are the allness, the isness, the oneness, that you are the principle at work. You are the law of cause and effect, which has very little importance to anything. And so these are things that we are coming to be aware of, and these are things we're going to be expressing in the oncoming weeks. Well, actually, we're going to skip about 4 or 5 weeks here now while we go to Europe and Nigeria. But when we come back, we have plenty of material to get going on here. And who knows, perhaps while I'm gone, I may take one of these little disc players and use it alone to give lectures in preparation for the University of Philosophy. Because ideas do come up and thoughts do come up. And I wax eloquent sometimes, and sometimes I need a little more wax on my eloquence. But basically, it's a lot of fun, and it's a wonderful thing. Ideas are born all the time. Now, we have the unip.us, unip.us, which means the University of Philosophy, and .us is our domain name, the whole thing. And in the World Wide Web, unip.s, we have it presently under construction. It says on our page, this site is currently under construction. Please check back at a later time. Well, I'm going to go into Word, and I'm going to, or maybe CorelDRAW, or both, and create the initial home page and design it the way I'd like to have it be, and call up some rather spectacular type of imagery that I'd like to have represent the idea of the concept of the infinite, the allness, absolute, because these are concepts that can be illustrated in our limited way by looking out into the heavens at night and seeing the stars and the moon and seeing the satellites dashing around up there and not bumping into each other and doing beautiful things. But that's only a small segment. That's only a segment we can understand. Then we look at the satellites, not satellites. We look at the various... Well, not the comets. I'm talking about the bigger thing. We're looking at the name just does not want to come to me at the moment.
Galaxies,
thank you. Yes. We are looking at the galaxies out there, and the galaxies are so grand and beautiful and so large and wonderful, and we think, well, isn't that exciting? Just look at those galaxies. Well, those galaxies are nothing. Because beyond those galaxies are other possible galaxies, or beyond those are other dimensions of time and space, where there is no time and space, of beingness. Because how can we say that there's a limitation to whatever it is that we have? How can we say there's a limitation to the space, to time, and so forth? There is none. And what's beyond our galaxies? What's beyond our universe? What's beyond whoever we are? What's beyond that? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? That'd be something really fun to investigate and look into. But it is irrelevant. You see, it's like saying, okay, let's go into the infinite space. Go down into the atom and the subatom and the quark and the subquarks and the other names that they give to substances that exist beneath the atom and the quark. And, hey, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that wonderful? And every human body or every living body or every evidential body is made up of atoms. It's made up of atoms that have substance. But yet, if the atoms didn't have the quarks beneath them and the substances beneath them, the atoms would not have any substance in themselves. Because even the atoms are constructed of various things. But when we look at these things and we think to ourselves, my goodness, isn't that grand? And then we say, how small we are. This is a phrase that I've heard used by a lot of rather interesting people. How small we are when we look out and see the vast universe and so forth. What you see, you are. Ever heard that? Mm-hmm. What you see, you are. If you see the universe, you are the universe. Now, if you can see the universe, then you can see beyond the universe. But now, say that's wonderful. You see the little boy playing in the gutter at the curb with the water flowing down and the little leaves that he uses for boats and sticks and stuff like that. And you see him playing there. Well, now, the little boy is like God to the ants who are sitting on the leaf floating by. They look up and they see this little child. Well, and if they see a man, then they see a bigger God. And if they see something else, like an elephant, they'll see a bigger God, you know. And it makes no difference to them whether it is human or animal or mineral or vegetable. It doesn't matter. And they might look up and they might see a mountain. And they might say, my goodness, the end of the world. Well, this is all according to our observation, according to how we look at things. And we want to put away those childish things. Those are indeed childish things, to look out and see something that is more magnificent than we are. We can start looking within. And when we start looking within, we start looking at the cause, the source, the essence of whatever it is we see outwardly. And if we see outwardly a big world, a big universe, a grand panorama of life, that's who we are within ourselves. We have the capacity to understand that, the capacity to comprehend it. And that's rather amazing. So if we have this capacity to comprehend this and understand this and be aware of this and even to understand it, even to be alert to it, that's wonderful. But I say this because it helps us to boggle our mind. I'm going to give each of you however much money you think you can count in one lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give each of you however much money you think you can count in one lifetime. If you think you can count so much in one lifetime, I'll give that to you. If you think that you can count more, I'll give that to you. If you think that you can count infinite, I'll give that to you. If you think you can count finite, only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'll give that to you. And you say, well, Herb, what opportunity do you have to give that to us? Well, I have the opportunity of a thought in your mind. Now, if I say to you, okay, I give you the opportunity to have three wishes, what would you say to me? Now, we've been through this, so you should really be alert to it. I give you the opportunity to have three wishes. Your first wish is, I wish to have all the wishes I could ever want. Now, isn't that intelligent? Mm-hmm. I wish to have all the wishes I could ever want. So I'm not limited by my three. I still have two more wishes to go on the original package, you know. And each one of those could be something of that same nature. My mother has all the wishes she wants, you know. My husband or wife or children have all the wishes they want. You know, how lovely. But, of course, all they have to do is come to us, and we will speak our word for them, and they will have it. Now, do you have the capacity in your surprised moment of realizing that you have three wishes? Do you have the capacity to be objective about it? To be subjective about it? To be so careful about it that you're not going to give away this eternal gift that you have? Because to say you have three wishes is something you can comprehend. But then for you to have your first wish, that I have all the wishes I could ever want, and I could, that I have throughout my entire life, every wish I wish for, I have. Or not my life. Throughout my entire beingness, and throughout my entire existence, I have the not possibility, but I have the ability to conceive of something and have it manifest for me instantly. You say, well, Herb, that sounds real cool, but it also sounds very limiting. Because you have said that whatever a man thinks in his mind, so is he. You have said that whatever we can conceive of and believe of within ourselves, we can manifest. And so, really, that's not a big deal. That's not such a big deal that we can do that. Well, yes, it is a big deal. It's a big deal of a step in consciousness. Not necessarily in the demonstration of the wishes that you have, which is very good too, but a step in consciousness. Now, what does it mean to have a step in consciousness? A step in consciousness is when, instead of thinking you have three wishes, you say, I have them all. Instead of thinking you have them all, you say, I am. I am the fulfillment of anything I think about. Of anything I think about. Of anything I can imagine. My family, my friends, my world are the fulfillment of, and they do it. Now, this is the big telling point again. They and I do it with humility and sincerity. We don't wish for the sun to stop because we think that'd be charming. We don't wish for the rain to come down and water our garden every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning for an hour. We don't know how it might affect somebody else. What are we going to do? Are we going to say, whatever is for my highest good, I experience? Well, then would you wish for rain? Would you wish like Emil? Would you say, oh, let's have some grain so we can make some bread, so we can have a bread, so we can make a sandwich, so we can have stuff to put on? Or would you just see fulfillment?
My garden is lush and
beautiful. Oh, and it does not depend on water. It does not depend on fertilizer. It does not depend on anything. My garden is lush. My garden grows abundantly. And you see, whatever our thinking is, that's what it is. Now, can people's gardens grow abundantly where they have no water and no fertilizer? Just as a slight illustration, Findhorn went, these people went up to the coast of Scotland, I believe it was, and on that icy coast of Scotland, on the shore of the ocean, they raised the most beautiful plants you could ever imagine. They did not do anything special to them except to say, you're growing. Now, how can they do that? What gives them the right to do that and others not the right to do that? Well, simply they chose to. Simply you chose to. Now, art could have had his son stay with him all day today and tomorrow and done everything in perfect order, because there is no bill on earth that has to be paid one day or 2 days unless you let it go to the very end. And they didn't let it go to the end. They didn't let it go to the end. And like the young man said, he says, my roomie, he has a check signed by me that he can write my part in there anytime he needs it. He said, I trust him, you know. And he wouldn't have even had to leave. But he left. You see, he left because he wanted to leave. He wanted to go and get away from here for a little while and catch his breath, because he was working very hard. And he's a very diligent boy. And his father hasn't had a chance to wind down on him as much as he would have liked to. And so all the time that they were working together, he was preaching to the kid. At least that's what the boy said. And I said, you hear only what you want to hear. And he says, that's right. He says, but I'm still going to go and pay the bills now. He explained the whole thing to me. He didn't have to. And then he said he's going to go do it. Well, that's a choice. That's a choice. Now, every one of you has a choice. You have a choice to do anything you want in your life. You can live in infinite. You can live in absolute. You can live in the relative. You can live in the law of cause and effect that you think is so important. Or you can live beyond the law of cause and effect. Why? Let's just play with that for a minute. Why could you live beyond the law of cause and effect? You can live beyond the law of cause and effect because when you put a cause in motion, you bring forth something. Now, you are not bringing forth anything that doesn't already exist. You are bringing forth something that already exists, and therefore, what could you do? You could visualize anything you want, not put any cause in motion. Just see your glass of water filled. Just see your garden growing beautifully. Not saying it has adequate rain and fertilizer and all that stuff. Just see it growing beautifully. Just see everything in your world as already done. And this is why being a practitioner is being an absolutist. And there are very few absolutists in the world. In fact, I know of very few. And an absolutist is one who speaks his word for whatever he chooses it, and it's done. It's done. But we don't do that because we want to be a humanist. We want to feel sorry for people, be touched by things. We want to have tears in our eyes. We want to have sadness in our voice. We want to play the game. And that is the fun of it. And that's perfectly okay, because you created the world in which you could create yourself playing the game the way it's being played. And that's great. So, think about this. The UNIP, the University of Philosophy, is reaching its point of unfoldment now. You'll see a lot more of it. You'll see a lot of it on the internet. You'll see a lot of it in the GIST. And we will start the University of Philosophy section in the GIST. And it may only be a page, but it will have its own recognition. And then the University of Healing, God Unlimited, University of Healing, and University of Philosophy will be publishing the GIST. So, we have some new and exciting adventures ahead of us, don't we? So open your eyes and see what's going to happen. And you will be so thrilled. I know. I love you.